Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. I find it interesting how we remember things throughout history and throughout our own lives, and how we interpret certain events and others around us may not interpret the same event the same way. I have a cousin that passed away late summer this year, about 5 years older than I am. And at the funeral, my other cousins and friends reminded me that every year I continue to get these invites from them to go experience the Chiefs game with them. And this year they really wanted myself, the brother that's a year younger than me, and the brother that's a year younger than him to go. We all grew up together. We grew up in the same town. And they just wanted us to be there. So this year we agreed, and 2 weekends ago we met up with everybody. So we went to a place to watch one of the most exciting events this year was the KU K-State game. But it was at a location. We all got together and we watched this game, and we were talking and sharing stories, and my brothers and I were sitting at one table, and this person walked up and says, "Hey, Kevin, nice to see you. I didn't know you were going to be here. Hey, Darren, Kent, nice to see you." And then he talked a little bit, and then he got up and went and talked to some other folks. And my brothers leaned close to me and said, "Who was that?" I said, "Well, that was Greg Manca." And he goes, "I would have never recognized him." Well, they didn't know, and they still don't know, that he left his ID on the table. So I knew who he was. But he told these stories about coming and playing football with it. Every time we walked by the Schmidt house, you guys wanted to play football. That's not how we remembered it. We remember that every time they came by, they drug us to go play football because we were smaller and they could pound us. That's what we remember. But even that, those events are still different interpretation, but things that don't get interpreted a little bit differently is behavior. So growing up, my mom might say, if you finish your vegetables, you can have dessert, chocolate cake, whatever there was. We didn't get a lot of dessert, but so that was a big deal. If you clean your room, you get to stay up late. If you rake the yard, you get to do this. If you do this, you get that. Well, then it doesn't take long for us, as ornery as we are, is to put the negotiation back on mom. "Hey, mom, dad, if I do this, what can I have? If I do this, what do I get? If I feed the dog every day, will you give me allowance so I can buy this thing?" And then all of us, I think, can relate to that, and we grow up either negotiators in business. We might be sales, we might be mediators, we might be something that is in that dialogue or the context of negotiations. I was traveling someplace one time, and I read this magazine that was on the plane, and there's an ad in there, and the quote was, "You don't get what you deserve in business, you get what you negotiate in business." So it starts here, and it goes all the way through adulthood. And I don't know if that's what the rich man in our gospel lesson was trying to do, or if he was really truly asking what it is that he could do to have eternal life, what he could do to enter in the kingdom of God. Because the way it's worded, it says, "Good teacher, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God?" And we know, because Scripture tells us, there's nothing that we can do to get into heaven alone. There's no negotiations, there's no score, there's not a thing that we can negotiate our way in and get into eternal kingdom. Now, the rich man, I found it interesting that he walks off, or he runs off weeping and sorrow. So you start thinking, okay, why was he upset and grieving when he left? Is it because his riches gave him his person or told the community who he was? Is it because that's what he held on so dearly? Did people know him because he lived in this part or that place? Or what was it that, and why was he holding on to that? And the scripture doesn't really help us too much to figure that part out. But if you think, as I think back to those people that I met Saturday, there was this beautiful white house that was along the main road that actually went to our national parks, as well as comes down downtown. And we would walk by it if we wanted to go up. We called it The Rock in Pawnee Rock. But we would go up there and get in trouble, and then we'd come by the same house. And the house was in prime location. It was right down from the fire department, right across from the tennis court where all the community activities took place, right down from the post office, two blocks away from the grocery store. So, and it was two lots, white, wraparound porch, beautiful home. We knew who lived there. It was a mayor and then his wife, but we knew the family. And my brother just recently bought the house, the one of them that was with me last week, and he has to, and we've encouraged him, just tear it down. It's falling apart, it's not safe, but he wants to remodel it. And those things that we hold on to on this earth deteriorate. They do fall apart. These earthly things are subject to time, weather, everything else that happens while we're on earth. And I don't know if this rich man had something that he was cherishing or not, but how much more should we cherish that relationship with God? How much more should we cherish the relationship with each other? Jesus says the only way into heaven and have eternal life is through him. He says in other parts of Scripture, I am the way, I am the life, only way is through me. It's not something I can do or a rich man can do. It is only through him, recognizing that he is my Savior, Redeemer, and my Lord Jesus Christ promises me into eternal kingdom, in eternal life. A lot of you know that I work for a health IT company. And when I get up in the morning, I think, is what I'm going to do today impactful to those caregivers, patients that our product is going to touch, or our behavior is going to touch, or our strategy is going to touch? And then at the end of the day, I think, who was it that was impacted by what I did today? And not often enough, I ask myself before I go, because I have a 38-mile drive, lots of time to think, who am I going to touch today or talk to today? Will they know that I'm a Christian? And at the end of the day, try to make a list. Who did I talk to today, interact with today? Did they know that I was a Christian? Did they know that Christ's love for me was shown through me to them? And too many times when I ask that question, I have to say no. I didn't uphold my side of the bargain. I didn't do what God calls me to do. The other side, who I am as a manager, executive, that part I seem to worry about a little too much. And I don't worry enough about the other side, Christ's love. How wonderful would it be if we all thought that way? If we got up in the morning and say, who will I positively impact today? And they will know God's love. And at the end of the day, I could write down, I changed somebody's life because of God's love through me. How wonderful it would be if we could fill this whole building, this city, this country with that relationship, that type of relationship. How wonderful would that be? When we give ourselves up and give ourselves to God, and we leave our home that we worry about, our mothers, daughters, sisters, all of those things. If we give up things for Christ, we gain so much more. You're my brothers and sisters that I might have left before. Look how many more I have. How wonderful would it be to remember that every day? In about 50 days, you'll start hearing sermons from Father Ben and Father Gar about preparation. We'll be entering Advent. That means there's about 75 more days to shopping for Christmas. But that's where we will be. How great would it be if you took your life and every morning got up and say, who will I positively impact today? And write that down. And at the end of the day, wrote down who it was and in which way did they see God's love. I'm not saying take a Bible to work and say John 3:16 says right here. I'm saying through action, relationship, interaction, your interpersonal skills with one another. By the time we hit Advent, if we were to do that, we would have such a bigger story in our lives as we prepare during Advent season. My challenge is to you and to myself is to think about that every morning and think about that when I come home. Which lives were impacted through Christ, with Christ's love through me? Which seeds did I plant, and can I go nurture those seeds? And I'm not saying just with my family. For me, it could be people that I manage. It could be the client that I interact with. It could be somebody in a different team within this large organization. It could be anybody. And then follow up with them to see how they're doing. How great would that be to have that story as we enter into Advent? It'd be awesome. It would be awesome to have God's love in your life like that. Remember Him. The only way in eternal kingdom, or in eternal life and into the heavenly kingdom, is through Christ Himself, by giving of yourself, taking on that new image of God and showing that in the world, taking that out into the world. My challenge is, be like Christ. Accept Him in your heart and let that light shine. Amen.